reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
What is going on, Temple Off-Road fans out there? This is Luke Hay, your host of the Voice of Tor podcast. And we're recording this in two, maybe three separate sections here. In the Westchester Mulch Co. office today, recording this section of the podcast. Last Tuesday night, on Tour Tuesday, I had Thorne call in to the program. It was a remote broadcast, and I think I got that all dialed in. I had was shooting to have him on for Monday night, so that I could release the pod for Tour Tuesday, but due to some technical difficulties, I was unable to get it done. But I'm still committed to this show and trying to get them out for you guys for Tour Tuesday. So with that said, this show is going to be coming out on Wednesday or Thursday. I'm going to try and get it all edited tonight once I get home from the mulch yard here, and I'm going to put it out for you guys as soon as possible. So also with that said, if I have to hang up here and pause again, it's because I've got some customers coming in the yard to pick up some mulch. But in the meantime, I'm going to try and get this podcast taken care of. So without further ado, let's get it rolling. So we had an awesome turnout at round one of Temple Off-Road Racing at the Judge GP in Millville, New Jersey. What an awesome facility we had. It is still a functioning hay farm. The property is not a motocross facility and not normally raced on. First time dirt bikes I've ever broken ground there. So it was a brand new facility. No one has ever raced it in South Jersey before, and that is just something that is a real treat for anybody who is used to racing the locals around the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, and particularly South Jersey. There is just so many limited spots, you know, that this is just a real special treat. So for everybody that made it out there, we thank you, and we hope you guys all had an awesome time. It seemed like everybody really did a good job of taking care of themselves as far as, you know, policing themselves, taking care of their own pits, making sure everybody was clean. There was no garbage or anything laying around. And we were really happy with all that stuff. Just something, a quick reminder, you know, if you guys are going to be walking away from your pits, make sure you guys are locking your doors and, you know, putting your bikes inside your trailers and stuff like that. We don't want to have any crazy things happen, but unfortunately, this is a terrible world we live in, and sometimes things go missing. So with that said, just make sure you guys are, you know, looking out for your fellow rider and racer. Keep everything locked up, and let's just do a good job of policing ourselves and taking care of one another. And what else we got here? I'm just going through some general stuff I wanted to touch on the day. We had about 690 riders on Sunday, combined with our Ladies of Tor and our little Stasic Bike e-riders on Saturday. We had over 700 riders. It was something like 730, 740 or something like that was the ultimate final number. So that is just crazy to think that we had that many people show up for round one. I mean, It really proves that this, you know, the sky is the limit for this series, and we're just so stoked that it's being so well received from the local community here, and we really can't wait to just, you know, keep growing it, keep making it better, and, you know, round after round, I can tell you what, it's just going to get more dialed in. We're going to get our systems in place, and it's going to be just perfect for everybody. You know, this is, believe it or not, after round one of this year, this is only our fourth time ever doing this, you know, holding a race, promoting a race, and all the other stuff you guys see us doing is, you know, we're all still new at it, and we're just trying to do our best to develop a great product for you guys. So, you know, bear with us as we get everything dialed in, working out all the kinks. But hey, for our fourth time around and hosting 700 riders, and, you know, plus, you know, we were well over 1,000, you know, it was closer to 2,000 people as far as attendance goes, with spectators and race fans alike. So thank you guys for all that. That is just, you know, unbelievable. It's going to be really, really hard to beat. You know, we had a bluebird day, you know, the crazy turnout. There was great vendors on site. It was just a really, really special day. So it's not possible without you guys. So thank you to all of our riders and our spectators for just really, really showing up and showing out. Our pro class winners, one, or podium, I should say, 1, 2, and 3 was Hunter Bush in third, Dominic Morse in second, and Thorne Devlin in first place. Those guys were battling it out all day. It was some sick, sick racing, watching Thorne and Dominic go back and forth, passing each other in the extreme section. Just an awesome battle, you know, all day long, not just in that class. It was really all around. And then we had our Pro-Am 125 Dash for Cash podium. Third place, Nathan Delaney. Second place, Lucas Seelman. And first place was Robert Weiss. So awesome job, guys. 125 Rippers, that's obviously my favorite class. You guys have heard me talk about the two-stroke love that we're trying to give. So we love to see the Pro 125 guys get out there and just battle it and make those small bores scream around the course. Now I'm going to go over our Pro women's class here. Okay, our women pro, third place was Leah Raines, second place Cheyenne Phelps, and first was Carly Lee. Some great battles all day in that class too. It was really fun watching the ladies duke it out for first place out there. Ultimately, Carly Lee came out on top, and that was just a lot of fun. I love watching the battles develop, and it also just, not only does it make for, you know, good entertainment, but the racers love it too, and you know, they can really bang bars together. It's not like other series where you don't see your competition, or you guys might be separated by, you know, a big gap. It's, you know, for a 2.5 mile loop for 30 minutes, you guys, if you're the leaders, you're going to be banging bars. And then let me just check our pro vet class here. Tough luck for Jared Stoner. He unfortunately had a little bit of a knee injury coming into, not coming into round one. It was at round one on the first lap. So coming into the first lap, Jared blew his foot off the peg and really did a number on his knee there. So he is healing up from that right now. I have got to check in with him, see how he's doing with the healing process. And then in second place was Ron Rothkranz. It was fun talking to Ron up on the podium. I'd never met him before, but he was telling me about his program and how he is kind of got a little deal here with a beta dealer, and he hops on a beta and go races X amount of rounds and puts the beta brand out there. And he has taken home second place in his first ever Temple Off-Road Racing in the pro vet class. And then everybody's local favorite, Mike Lafferty, taking home first place in the pro vet class. And I want to hit our women's AM. Oh, I'm sorry, where is my women's AM here? I thought I had it pulled up. Women, there you go. Women BC, that's the one I'm looking for. All right, third place, Jillian Gribben. Second place, Ellie Nash. And third place, Jessica Lockard. Awesome job, ladies. I'm going to always make sure that we're giving love to the girls and, don't want to forget anybody. So we're going to talk about everyone here and our youth, too. So where are our youth guys? Overall youth, where is this? Here we go. Overall. Why am I not finding my youth riders here? I'm scrolling through Moto Tally. I should have just printed these out before getting live here on the pod, but gosh. I know our overall youth rider was Ryder Siggety. He took the overall aboard his Super Mini. And why is this giving me such a hard time? PW, Pro-Am, Senior College Boy Class, AB Vet. Oh, here we go. I got it. Okay. All right. So, yeah, overall youth riders. Third place was Michael Ruff. Second place was Dominic Griffith. And first place was Ryder Siggety. So those are going to be your racers, your pro racers of tomorrow. They're stepping it up. Ryder actually got out on the big bike on the 125 and was mixing it up. I know he really enjoys that bike, and I did give him a little bit of a plug already, but go ahead, check out their podcast. It's definitely worthwhile. And like I mentioned, I got somebody here to pick up some mulch, so I'm going to have to pause this and come back here in just a couple minutes. All right, I'm back. I just got that fellow on his way with his load of mulch, and I'm going to try and wrap up this part of the podcast here since it's already getting pretty chopped up as we go. I apologize for that. In the future, I'm really going to try and, you know, record all at once and do minimal splicing of everything, but I'm working with the time I got here, and I'm trying to deliver something decent for you guys here. So anyway, bear with me, at least on this episode, as I splice together multiple different pieces of recording. I'm going to do my best with that. Again, I apologize, and I hope the recording here from the Mulch studio, if you will, the Mulch office, isn't too loud, or, you know, the noises in the background. I got a grinder going over here, guys pulling in and out, skid steers moving around, and the birds are chirping too. I was hearing a little bit of that feedback in the microphone here, so we're gonna see how this one turns out. Again, I hope you guys just bear with me and stick with me. As I said, it's gonna get better as I figure out what the heck I'm actually doing with this recording equipment. So back to the story of the race. We just wrapped up. I was just talking about all of our podium winners, our women's, our youth, and our pros. And, you know, again, just some general talk. It was an awesome day. I wanted to mention that we had some all types of different bikes out there. Not only do we have our two strokes and our four strokes, but there was a guy racing a Suron. There was a fellow on a Tenere, I believe. That's how you say it, Tenere. That's that twin, that big V-twin Yamaha. That thing looks sick. The funniest joke I heard all day was I saw the guy rolling through the extreme section, and someone hollered out, "It looks like he got lost on his way home from the grocery store." You know, like some out of a movie. He just turned left, took a wrong turn, and ended up on a dirt bike track, and he was in the middle of the race. But that thing was sweet. It was really cool to see that out there pushing the limits. We also had our first Varg. We had a couple of Stark Vargs out there. There was at least two. We had Wild Wally Palmer, who was out there ripping around on one of them. I know he has got a little bit of an affiliation with Stark, so he is probably going to be back around the races with the Varg. And he's been trying to get in our ear about pushing some more electric-based events, and we're down for it. That'd be fun. We got to find a good spot for the electric bikes, and you know, if we can work together to come up with something, we're all for it. And then another awesome ride that I wanted to highlight was the fella on the KDX 200. It might have been a 220, but I think it was a 200 because he was in a 200, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, Michael Hartensveld was aboard the KDX 200, and he took first place in Moto 1 on that thing over Ryan Gribben and Ian Wiseman. And then Moto 2, Gribben took the first place finish away from Hartensveld, so that would give Gribben the overall on the day for the tiebreaker. But man, that was sick to see that old KDX out there. I know he was turning some heads. Man, we want to encourage that stuff. It proves that you don't have to have the newest and latest and greatest technology to go out there and be competitive. And man, that KDX is a real woods weapon, so keep your eye out for that. I'd love to see him back out there, and he's on the A200 line. You guys, no joke, he's a straight up ripper on that thing. So shout out to you guys. And of course, shout out to Mr. Gribben there. You were the overall champ of the day from the A200 line. But man, I know even you guys that were in that class could probably, you know, tip your cap to that fella riding the 200. So just wanted to highlight that. I thought it was sick. And another little shout out that I wanted to give here. Let me see if I can get this fella's name right. This was in the trail bike class. I believe it was the 7 to 11, or no, maybe 12 to 16. Yep. I believe it was Wyatt Rayner who I talked to, or Ronner, Wyatt Ronner. And when I did my podium interview with Wyatt, he had shared with me that it was his first dirt bike race ever. And he just said that when I asked him what his favorite part of the track was, or what was the most fun, he gave me the most honest and just sweetest answer. He said that he was just happy to be out there. The kid had a huge, huge smile on his face. His mom, his dad, his little brother, and his little sister were there. And you know, the kid came out to his first race, and he was able to get a podium finish. And he was just happy to be out there riding his dirt bike. It didn't matter if he got first or last. He was happy to be out there, and it was just genuine. You know, kids say some crazy stuff sometimes, but that was one of the most genuine responses that I've got to that question. So shout out to you, little man, and I hope to see you up on the podium again real soon. All right, well, I think I'm going to wrap up my little intro here and the recap of the race. I'm going to still be putting out my my written race report. I have to dial that in here, get it ready for release. But the podcast is just way easier for me to put all my thoughts out there and talk about everything. But I really do enjoy writing those race reports. So please stay tuned for that. And last but not least, before I let you guys go and we get into the interview with Thorne, got to give a huge shout out to Scott USA. So we are partnering with Scott Motorsports here, and they are the number one goggle brand in the industry and the only one still produced 100% in the US of A. That's right, the only goggle manufacturer who is still producing all their goggles here in our great country. So we want to give a huge shout out to them. Shout out to Primo for getting us set up with everything. We are fully stocked up on race goggles, and we are going to be awarding them out on the podium and maybe here and there for some other cool giveaways and stuff. So if you haven't already, check out my Instagram page at Voice of Tour to see the selection of goggles, grips, tear-offs, and everything that Scott has provided for us. And they wanted to partner up. They, you know, they had heard a little bit of the rumblings last year about our series, and over the winter I was working really hard, like I mentioned, with Primo Morato to get everything set up for Temple Off-Road Racing in a partnership with Scott. And sure enough, they came through, and we're going to stick with them for a long time, hopefully, because they're showing us love here in our, you know, our little, you know, baby phases, our infancy of our series, and they're getting in early. And, you know, hopefully that, like I said, hopefully they stick with us for a really long time. And I'm so pumped to be working with those guys. It's just awesome, you know, to be involved in the industry with these guys, you know, with everybody that we're working with, all of our partners. But it's just really cool when a long time and well-known brand like Scott steps up and wants to help out. So thank you, Scott, and thank you, Primo. And I can't wait to start plugging you guys some more and tossing out some of those goggles off the podium. So I'm going to end this segment now, and we're going to get into it with Thorne. Thanks, everybody. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Voice of Tour podcast. I'm your host, Luke Hay, and today we are joined with a very special guest. This is somebody who I've been waiting to get on the podcast, or just honestly waiting to ask a bunch of questions to for a long time. He's a local Pennsylvania guy. You know him very well. He has got a huge social media following, upwards of 20,000 plus on Instagram last time I checked. And his name is Thorne Devlin. Welcome, Thorne.
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here.
Awesome, man. So just a fair warning for everybody here. This is our first time doing a remote show. I've got all the gizmos here plugged in. I think we tried to do this last night. This meaning Monday night, first Monday after the first round of tour, and I kind of blew it. I missed the mark and didn't have the equipment set up, and Thorne had bigger fish to fry last night with a marketplace deal. So with that said, let's get right into it now tonight. Thorne, introduce yourself real quick. Tell us where you live, what you do for work, and anything else you want to, you know, include into your intro.
Absolutely. Yeah, my name is Thorne Devlin, obviously. I live in Smocco, Pennsylvania. I'm 26 years old. I live in basically the armpit of the world, but it's the coal region. Plenty of riding, plenty of outdoor activities. And pretty much, if you want to ride a dirt bike and you want to get into some gnarly stuff, it's definitely the place to go. Fun fact about me is I am one of seven, so I'm the first boy. I had four sisters before me, and then two boys after me. So got quite a big family. My four sisters have like 13 nieces and nephews combined. So like, wow. We got a big family dinner for sure.
yeah,
and it's definitely keeps your heart full, but there's a lot of challenges, you know, and especially in this sport with growing up with such a big family, like, you know, going racing on the weekends wasn't always the right call when you're trying to feed a family of seven, you know? So
yeah,
it was challenging at times, but I'm super thankful to be where we are today, be able to sit here and answer your questions and just let everybody hear my voice. I'm just a guy who likes to ride his dirt bike, you know?
That's couldn't have said any better, man. Sounds like family is really important to you. I was going to ask you about that. I knew you had a big one. I didn't know it was that big. So, I mean, with since you brought up family, what's family mean to you? You know, you touched a little bit on it there, but you know, are you how close are you with everybody? Is it just like, you know, family over everything?
Yeah, family is everything to me. It's always going to the races, even if you're my friend, you're my family, you know. And
we
my pit crew is usually 80% family, and the rest are either, you know, team that I got hired to, or, you know, they're real close friends. But yeah, family's everything to me, and honestly, when I'm not racing, I'm usually hanging out with my family and doing things that are, you know, evolved around them. But yeah, it's pretty important to me.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're you know, Tour is a big family you know, run thing. It's the whole Temple family, and you know, by extension, if you're friends with the Temples, your family. That's all I can, you know, all I can
Absolutely.
Say. I've been fortunate enough to know them my entire life. I grew up with Tegan. You know, we were right down the street from each other. I used to drive him to high school. And I know you also have a little bit of a history with Tegan. Tell me, what was it like growing up racing against him?
Tegan was always the man, dude. Like, he always had the sickest bikes. He always had, like, you know, we always called him the baby giraffe, just hanging off the back. Like, he's just a tall kid.
Throwback always, there. You know? I haven't heard that one in forever.
But Tegan is the man. Like, I looked up to him a lot growing up, even when I was racing against him. And his family, they helped me out a bunch. They took me to some races, National Enduros. We actually drove to a National Enduro. I'd have to ask Tegan the year, but it was me, Tegan, and Dan Hadley, and we drove to a National Enduro in Texas, and it got canceled. And we got there, like, we got to Texas on, like, Friday. It got canceled. Tegan was like, we didn't even unload anything. We turned back around and drove back through the night to North Carolina to hit, I can't remember the name of the series, but
found something to do.
Yeah. You know, that was very Tegan.
Yeah, it was. Like, all right. I could totally just see the look on his face. All right. Who else is racing? where can we go?
Yeah. And his mom, Kim, she was tagging along. So
that's great.
She was usually in the back of the camper doing work and
taking care of you guys.
Yeah, exactly,
man. That's great. Yeah, I got a lot of fond memories traveling the country with those guys as well. I pretty much, you know, as far as dirt bikes go, I've said this before up on the podium and stuff, you know, just as far as dirt bikes go, I, like, you know, owe everything to the Temples. You know, they, like you said, they took me to all the races, they included me, they included everybody, and like I said, if you're their friend, you're their family. And they really exposed me to the whole race side of everything as we were growing up, and you know, never looked back.
And I've met a lot of awesome people that are friends of theirs, you know, that kind of they brought into the scene, and they're just as great people, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, you attract what you put out pretty much. There's a word
absolutely.
For that, but yeah, they attract a lot of good energy and a lot of good people. And that's, you know, the series tour is, you know, a direct result of that. So, all right. Cool. Well, let's get into this here. Let's get into the meat and potatoes, everything here. First, before I ask you about what you had going on this week, tell me about what you thought of round one. And obviously, you were our overall pro champion on the day, and you were making that Sherco do some things that I don't know that anyone else has ever done on one of those bikes. So let's talk about it. Tell me about that race.
Yeah, that race was awesome. Honestly, I wasn't even planning on racing simply because of I've had a little bit of a lingering injury going on. And I was kind of eyeing up potentially getting surgery, at the time. So racing was kind of at a standstill, and, I was actually selling, some tires on Facebook Marketplace, and, one of the good buddies of mine, and I think, with Tegan and them, Michael Anderson, he came to buy the tires, and he said something about the tour being next weekend. And I was like, the light bulb popped in my head. I originally was going to race my Gas-Gas because I still have my 350, and my Sherco was just going to be like a hard enduro setup. But I went to start up my 350 to ride it like 2 days before that, and looked like it was blowing some white smoke like a two-stroke. So I switched gears, changed the tubes out on the Sherco, put some bibs in, and decided to take that thing and go racing. I really, honestly, was... I couldn't have been any more off the couch, to be honest. Yeah. Like, when I sat on the podium, my tongue was in my spokes first lap.
Yeah, yep.
No exaggeration. I was straight off the couch. I mean, I'm an active guy by no means. Not that I'm a slouch.
Yeah, you just weren't in race shape.
Yeah, I wasn't in my race shape, you know. And I put a lot of miles on. I ride a good bit during the week, so it's not like I wasn't riding, you know. But I really enjoyed the first round. I loved that track. It was so cool. I think like that has to be. Within, you know, I've been racing for, man, I'm 26, so I've been racing for like 23 years, and at least 15 of those years, the past 15 years, that's the first new property in Millville that I've raced.
Yep.
So that was really cool. It was funny when we were going through like the center of Millville, and it was like the destination was a few minutes away, and then it was like your destination will be on the right in a mile, and we're still in like kind of like housing area.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you were like, wait, this isn't right.
This is sick. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So when we pulled in, I mean, that's exciting to drive two hours from your house and get somewhere new to race in Millville, which I've been racing there since I'm a kid. So, to be at a new property and a new series, like the vibes were good. And pulling in there, I was so excited because there was a lot of people there.
Yeah, how cool was that, man? It was like we were at a national when you pulled into that property, got behind that tree line, and then it was like it opened up and it was like a party as soon as you got in the gate.
100%. And I thought, I was excited for Tegan. Like right away, I'm like, hell yeah, Tegan. And then I thought, man, I wonder if he's stressed. But I know Tegan's not a big stressor.
Yeah, he keeps a pretty cool head.
Yeah, in my head, I'm like, whoo-wee, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad all I have to do is talk when I'm there, because if I was dealing with everything that they have to, it wouldn't be any fun for me. So
he makes it happen for sure.
Yeah,
but that track was just sick. I mean, the start was chaos.
Yeah, man, that was gnarly.
But the extreme sections, the open sand stuff in the back and the single track, like there was a point in... like both motos where you're doing like a national enduro type section, but whoever you're battling with is literally in the same type of single track next to you, and you're just tapping trees, and it's like slalom racing, like in skiing. It was sick.
Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to check out any of any helmet cam footage from the weekend, but I sat down on like Monday and just like, you know, just consumed like three hours of vlogs and helmet cam stuff. I mean, people are just like showing up and showing out for that, which is awesome because it exposes the series and it seems just like everybody is having so much fun. But I wanted to give a quick shout out since we're talking about that to Joe Economo. You got to check out his Moto 2 from the, I believe it was Open A class. And man, Big Joe put on a charge from almost like dead last. He got, since you mentioned that chaotic start, he got bumped into one of those orange barriers right off the start. I think he stalled it, got it going again. And then he picked them all off, I think, by like lap one, maybe even lap, I think it was lap one. He was in first after that, or maybe second. It was a sick video, like you're saying, slaloming through the trees, like, you know, just picking riders off and everything.
I watched that video. He was on the move. Did you happen to see the video of the Donovan Marvin on the start?
Yes.
Go launching into the trees.
Oh my god, dude! I saw that. I saw it from both angles. So I saw the helmet cam, and then I saw somebody else's footage from the backside of him going into the woods. It was gnarly.
He was onto a good line. He just had to commit.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, if he just kept going, it seemed like as soon as he popped up, he was actually on the course again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was gnarly. He was just banging the plastic around on that thing, and I was just like, I didn't even know what we were looking at. I was like, what does that part do on the bike? I don't know a damn thing about those e-bikes.
Our buddy Sean Ferris, he did one too, Enduro State of Mind.
Yep.
He's a pretty funny dude, but he had to race my buddy's bike because he went down on the start.
Yeah, like, yeah, I did. I caught up with his too. It's funny, man. I just like, I'm addicted to it, so it's funny. It sounds like you're into enjoying them too. It's funny watching these guys' videos and everybody, and his commentary is great too. I really do enjoy watching those videos.
It's good stuff for sure.
It is, man. Yeah, it is. All right, so you had a great race, obviously. I wanted to ask, what was I do this on the podium. It's like, you know, kind of just like one of my, you know, my easy go-to questions that's always in my mind. Like, what was like the gnarliest or like your favorite part of the course, other than, you know, that double off the tires? Like, we could talk about that later, but what was your favorite part about the track?
My favorite part about the track was definitely like the Endurocross type stuff. That's like, I love that stuff. I really enjoy, there was a back section. It was kind of like black sand, and you kind of pop down on a left-hander into this black sand, and it kept you on your toes every lap, but you just sat off the back, and there was an outside left line, and you literally just held that thing wide open for a long time.
I think I know which one you're talking about. It's like that split lane with the trees splitting it, like the saplings, like those little pine trees.
Yeah, and it had a sweet outside turn, and like it was like black sand, and you just held it wide.
Kind of wicked.
There was a long straightaway after that, another turn, and then another straightaway, and it was just, that was a good way to clear the spark plug out.
Yes, geez. Man. All right, cool. Well, I thanks for giving all the folks that weren't there a little bit of a feel for what it was like racing that. And again, check out all those vlogs and those videos, guys. There's so many people posting just great videos and great content that are just highlighting Temple Off-Road and like what GP is and everything, because I know a lot of folks are still a little confused about the format and all that. So if you would check out some of these videos, it'll make a whole lot more sense to you.
Why don't we touch base on the GP format?
Sure. Why don't you explain it in your own words?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I get a lot of questions on that type of thing. And that's, I like, this is such a cool format of racing. So it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's typically 2 to 3 miles is the track.
Yep, you're right.
2 to 3 miles, there's usually maybe a little, some jumps, or if it's at a moto facility, there's a good bit of the moto track in, maybe a mile of it or so. There's an extreme section with logs, tires, all that stuff. But like motos, I think it's Moto 6 is what the pros are in.
Yep, you're correct again.
Which is pro class, and then is it A Open?
A Open, A250, and A200, the small bore rippers.
A200 for that moto. So what's cool about that is they groups you in people who are of relative speed. So you line up like a normal hair scramble start. Everything's normal hair scramble start. Green flag drops. You sprint for 30 minutes. What's cool about that is it's 30 minutes on a 3 mile track. There was, I think I heard 690 entries around a 3 mile track.
Correct.
There's a lot of line options. It gets gnarly like moto. But as creative as you can be, it could be smooth as day. You know, if you're picking lines like a national enduro, you can kind of hop across different lanes and straighten stuff out and stay out of the chop. But, I enjoy it. It's very sprinty. It's very moto-y, but you need that enduro and technical side of it as well to kind of fit both molds. But
yeah, you gotta be more well-rounded.
Absolutely. And the 30 minute sprints, it's perfect enough that I like it even for the young guys, because it's a good opportunity to go out and race for 30 minutes, and it might be their first race, it might be their 100th race, and they get to go out, enjoy the track a little bit, and maybe if they had a rough start, they can regroup and then try again in Moto 2. And yeah, so unlike true. Unlike a hair scramble, you start once and then, it's over in an hour, and we'll try again in a week or two.
So it can change your whole mood just the day. A bad start can ruin your entire day in the other type of racing.
Yeah, and you can, for myself, I can race Moto 1, and my bike, you could always tweak it here and there, so I can make some changes. Maybe a tire change up if I think, it's a little more rocky than I was anticipating, or a little more loamy. I could swap to spare wheels. I could make all kinds of adjustments and Moto 2 even better for myself. And it's cool because as much as you do that, so is everybody else. So the racing just evolves, and the track get so developed as you sit there waiting for your second moto. By the time you race it the second time, it's a completely different track. Even lines that you had dialed in Moto One, they're probably not the line anymore. You know? So really keeps you on your toes, and I think it's so good for our area, because right now in GNCC, National Enduro, all those New England guys are on another level.
They're on top, man. They have been for years.
Yep. And Johnny G's the king of J-Day. Like Johnny Ferrar.
Yeah, he is.
He grew up racing GP style racing.
Yep.
He just got a world title in Argentina this fall. He sprint enduro titles to his name. He's leading the XC1 overall championship right now in GNCC. Like, and that guy literally grew up and has multiple titles in this format of racing. And to me, that's proof in the pudding. Look at,
thank you for pointing that out.
Josh Toth, all those guys.
Yep. Like, Toth. Yep.
All those guys, Ben Kelly,
BK, of course. I was going to mention him.
They grew up just doing it. And there's guys, even you do go to a J-Day, dude, they're no joke. There are guys that are, their AA pro line is like no other in the country. Like, I've raced many different series on the AA pro line, and there's not many places you'll find that competitive of a pro line.
I mean, you got guys like Robbie Marshall, the hardest working man in motocross.
Yeah,
you got Jason Clamer. Connell, yeah, the tree guy, my favorite rider up there.
Nate Smith.
Yeah, Pizza Willie. Yeah, I mean, all those dudes. I was a huge J-Day fan, still am. I mean,
Federico, he rips.
Yep. AFED. So yeah, fast, Conley, yeah, you got all the dudes.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, that format of racing is such a breath of fresh air, because before, you know, you look back quite a few years, it was really like National Enduro or GNCC. And then Full Gas got thrown into the mix, where they're doing two different, you know, cross tests and enduro tests. And now with this GP's been around, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I mean.
And now with all these formats of racing, like, it literally is growing the U.S. riders to be the best of the best. Like, we went over to 6 days in Argentina in fall. And we cleaned house pretty much.
Yeah.
So like, and that says a lot, because we finally got our racing up to what those guys are doing.
We have
GP stuff, we have enduro stuff, and it just keeps growing. So to have Tegan put this series on and be in the heart of the East Coast, like, you know, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's our goal. I mean, I've talked about it before, and Steven, I think it's written in the mission statement. You know, we're trying to develop the next generation of national caliber riders. And, you know, that's a message to all you parents out there. If you want your kid to go fast, bring him out to Temple Off-Road Racing, and we'll show him how to go fast.
100%. I support that.
Yeah. all right. Well, let's see here where I'm at. We're about 20 minutes into this thing here. I've got still a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I really do appreciate you talking about your concept of J-Day. I'm sorry, J-Day. Yeah, I'm going to have to edit that one out. Someone's going to holler at me for saying that. What I meant to say was your concept of GP racing, and, you know, that your explanation of, like developing a racecraft coming into the weekend, you know, and not getting down on yourself for a bad start, and, you know, working on the bike and, you know, remembering certain lines and everything. Like, there's so much more strategy to this, and it's more than just going out there for a 30-minute moto. Because that's another thing, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of these enduro guys and a lot of the hair scramble folks who aren't familiar with the GP stuff, they're starting to complain a little bit about the, you know, not a little bit complaining, but, you know, people say 30 minutes, you only get to race, you're only riding on the track for an hour, blah, blah, blah. And I, like, you know, to the, my message to those folks is, if you want to see what 30 minutes or an hour is like out there at one of our races, come on out. We'd love to show you.
Yeah, I would be willing to barge an entry fee if you finish Moto One.
I was getting close to saying it, but I'm too poor to mention that.
I'll say a gate fee. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
But
maybe
yeah,
I'll give you a hat.
If and I don't want you to cross the checker and tell me, that you're ready. I want you to give me 15 minutes. Go back to your truck. Give me 15 minutes. And then when it starts to set in, you're going to be like, okay.
Yeah. And not only that, but how much fun you had too. You're like, damn, that was way 100%. Different. I just had a whole lot of fun.
You're laying on the ground and you're like with a smile on your face.
Yeah. You can't stop talking or thinking. All you want to do is tell your friends and everybody at the pit how sick it was and all the awesome lines.
And then you start getting some water and electrolytes in you, and you start thinking, what line were you taking? Yeah. Now you start talking to your buddies.
Yeah. It's great. That's the other thing I love about GP racing is that breakup. You know, you get to actually spend time with your friends and family at the race rather than being out there for 2 or 3 hours. You know, the whole day is chewed up. You know, you get to hang out with whether you're with your kids, you know, get to spend the day with them, or if you're with your mom and your pop and you're a little bit older, you know, that's cool too. And that's how memories are made. And it's fun that we have extra time to put aside for family while we're here at the races as well.
For sure. And in between my motos, we went up to the extreme section, watched some of the cars there.
Yep.
And I was with my buddy, Neil Edmond. I think he was sixth on the weekend. He was asking me some line choices, and I was telling him about that. The wagon, the three logs on the 90 degree.
Yeah.
And I was telling him that I was tripling it, and he was like, "No way, no way." And then that's actually ended up being where I made my pass in Moto2.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah, that was sweet. I was pretty pumped on that.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And I love how it seems like everybody got a good video of you doing something crazy on the track this weekend too. So check out YouTubes and check out all your social medias and all that, because there's a bunch of great videos you floating around from that weekend.
For sure.
All right, let's move along here. Let's see. So you shared something with me when I reached out to you after the race, and I know you're ready to talk a little bit about it now. What do you got going on with your health?
Yeah, so I recently made the decision to get my wrist fixed. It's kind of been an injury that I've been dealing with since April. It was May of 2022. So I had fallen out of sprint enduro, and I broke my scaphoid in my right wrist. I was in a cast for a few months. I ended up missing 6 days in France that year. My bike and everything was shipped there. I had built it and shipped it and did all the stuff.
That's crazy.
So I had missed it because of this injury. Spent way too long, 4 or 5 months in a cast, for one little bone in my wrist. Got myself healthy, raced. I came back on race Baja 1000. I had a hell of a year, you know?
Yeah. You were all over the place, man.
Racing on it. Yeah. And so, it's been causing me some grief, just pain and really losing motion in it. So the right call in the beginning of breaking this was to put a screw in it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had done that, there was an absolute 100% chance I couldn't compete in France that fall. So I went with the let's make it heal on its own. Let's see if it'll heal on its own and go that route, because I'd rather, you know, at least go the route that gives me a chance to compete, you know?
Yep.
Ultimately, I should have just got the screw to begin with, and that's typically how it goes. But last Wednesday,
man,
so you crazy. Know, 2 days after the first round, I went and had just a screw put in it. And then while they're in there, I had them do carpal tunnel on my left hand as well. That's a pretty easy surgery. Like, my hand's pretty much back to full movement and motion. I just got a nice little cut on my wrist right now, but the stitch is healed. But
so you said you had right now, double arm surgery is what you're telling me?
Yeah, double arm surgery. But it was pretty, honestly, it was not that hard. It was pretty easy.
Yeah, it's for you.
It was pretty easy, to be honest. But it's we finished there, and I went and had dinner, like, 20 minutes after I got released. We went and had dinner with my family and my girlfriend. So
modern
honestly,
medicine.
Yeah, it's just is what it is. But I'm really happy that I got it fixed. It's been something that I've been wanting to do.
Yeah, I would think so.
And so, like, I literally have been competing since last year, a year, full season, with a broken wrist. And
unbelievable.
So, to to know that I got that fixed and hopefully be, my biggest thing is, my doctor was saying, I'm not sure on the motion, if we can get motion and like fully back. And I'm optimistic that we can, but, my biggest fight is just the pain. I mean, I got a little. It's a bone right between, right. It's right below your thumb. So like how you break it is if you fall, it just gets jammed between two bones and it splits it in half, and there's like zero blood supply to the bone, so it can hardly ever heal.
Jeez.
So it's a pretty painful thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Just nagging at you. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the end of, like, when I did 6 days, by day three I could hardly hold on to the bars. And like, if you watch on the video I had posted of the extreme section at round one, if you watch that video, that was my best run. The one I crashed was my best run at that jump. I watched all the videos. I hit that thing straight. I cleaned it. My tire was right on the top. But if you watch, as soon as my rear hits that, my hands just kick right out of my handlebars are right off the bars.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it looked like you buttered it. I saw it with my own eyes, yeah, and then I didn't know what the heck happened.
It was clean. And like, that is a pretty big jump. It's a pretty big hit.
I walked it off. It was like 17 yards from the tires to the log. And that was insane.
It was 17 yards?
17, yeah. That's what I had to come up with. I mean, that was me taking a couple of goofy steps. But that was the best I could come up with.
Pretty good gap.
Yeah, that was gnarly, dude. That was insane. Yeah. And, dude, you're telling me here, like, I talked about this with Jared on the one of the previous episodes. You were riding your dirt bike as fast as anybody last year. So to learn that you were battling a pretty, I would call it pretty, significant injury. Maybe you call it minor, but dude, a broken wrist is a broken wrist, and you were at the top of your game. It was impressive to see what all the cool things you were doing last year. I got a bunch of notes here that, I did a little research, and I checked out, some of the cool things you did. I wanted to ask you about the hill climb, and you already talked about ISDE, and you were racing Tour. You were all over the freaking place, man. And now you're telling me you got your double arm surgery is not what I'm sure a lot of people are going to be, pretty shocked and surprised to learn that you were battling this for such a long time.
Yeah, I appreciate you complimenting me on that stuff. It was a hell of a year for sure. But yeah, I'm like I said, I'm excited to have it fixed and,
yep, no
and
doubt.
Keep forward. I had a good year last year. I was hoping that, and I was 20. I had 27 out of 29 pro podiums for the year. Wow. I get a list, like the list that goes on for last year was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed to end the season. And even be usually past Christmas, you're loading up, heading down south. And I was kind of sitting here.
Yeah. Kind of bumming a little bit.
Bumming a bit. Support really wasn't coming, and I was struggling a bit to figure out what the plan was. But, during that time I thought, well, I don't have the support really to go racing, and it's this wrist has been nagging me, and I've got insurance, I've got time, I'm financially okay to do it, so I just pulled the trigger and did it. But yeah. As far as recovery goes, it's 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. On the right wrist, and I'm already a week and a half in, so like the timing's not ideal. I wanted to hit the 6 days qualifier. I wanted to hit round two. And then my goal has been, with the support that I'm dealing with this year, I was going to hit the AMA, like the East Hard Enduro Series.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is in my plans, but I want to let this wrist heal fully.
For sure.
So I don't have to go down this road again. And at this point, they're three rounds in at GNCC and a lot of the national series, national enduros, I'm going to miss round two for sure. But, I wanted to go for that championship and stuff, but my health comes first. And,
no doubt.
And like, yep. I said, with the support that I'm dealing with, if I was, had signed a good contract come last fall, then I wouldn't even be sitting here with a cast on having this conversation.
Right.
I'd be racing and dealing with the aggravation. But it's just where I'm at right now. But I'm excited to to get this thing feeling right, because it's been too long.
Yeah.
It's got to the point where riding during the weekdays with my buddies was, you know, after 20, 30 minutes, my fingers are numb and my hand
something's
got
to give.
Yeah, it's like, man, yeah. I get on my bike to enjoy it, not to.
That comes with age too, Thorne. You're growing now. I'm sure if this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you probably still wouldn't have gotten surgery or even considered it. So, you know, it like you said, it is what it is, and it'll heal up, and you'll be back, and I'm sure you'll be, you know, at the top of your game. I know you've got a lot of goals, and I haven't seen you know, anything get in your way of achieving them. So, this little wrist surgery won't be much for you.
I appreciate that.
All right, so I am going to save what we have now because my thing is showing me low battery. That tells me that I've got at least another 15, 20, but I'm going to save this now, so I'm going to press pause real quick. All right, so I have just taken care of our little battery issue there. Again, folks, I am doing my best to learn how to run a program here, and the batteries are next on my list here. Last night it was the cables, tonight it's the batteries. So I am going to try to speed this interview up here, but just a little bit. I still have some things that I wanted to, you know, just some fun things I wanted to mention. You pretty much answered all of my questions. I had that whole thing written down, you know, how long you were battling it, your recovery time. And you did kind of touch on your plans for the season, talking about the qualifiers and coming out for Temple Off-Road round two. You know, now did you have any other, like, I don't want to say second thoughts, but did you, well, you know what? I should ask you this question first, because you sounded like you were kind of hinting at some things with your support. Tell us about what you're racing this year. Obviously, you're not on the gas. What team are you racing for? Or are you getting any support from anybody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I followed up last year with Bonecutter Off-Road, and just a small dealership out of Missouri, and we had a great year and great success together, and I wanted to continue that. So we have been in talks with Sherco USA with getting me some support since last fall, and it's kind of been an ongoing thing trying to get support and work it all out to race the National Enduro Series and keep doing this at a national level. We weren't really able to make that happen, so Bonecutter was still able to get me a bike from Sherco, and super thankful for them and Sherco for stepping up and getting me a 300 to be able to, you know, go race a tour on and have to trail ride and have fun on a bike still, and still have a brand new 24 under me. So super thankful for them, and I've been enjoying the bike. It's definitely a lot different than other bikes I've ridden. The handling is really good. I love the motor. It's all around. It's
working well for you.
Yeah. But, and that, by the way, that bike was bone stock at Tour. Like the guys at Mile Hill, they helped me jet it. Like literally 30 minutes before the start of Moto One, they helped me jet it.
Sweet.
And, shout out to Mile Hill, 'cause they hooked me up. They jetted it.
That's awesome. They've been good to us.
Yeah. And they gave me a fresh air filter for it and helped me. I've never checked the sag on it, and they were like, you have to do that.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
They helped me check, do the sag on it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that they were able to help you out.
Absolutely. So, super thanks to them. And yeah, so, you know, it's been pretty good. It's been a little bit of a hard off season for me, just with having such great success with the things I set my goals out to be.
Right.
And kind of falling short on wondering if I'm going to have enough support to keep doing this. So it was a little disheartening. I won't lie there, but
yeah, you were hoping the phone was going to ring a little bit more this off season.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, that's
nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah. Hard to, I know it's hard not to put those kind of expectations on yourself, but
absolutely. Yeah. And it's literally just one of those things that uses motivation and keep grinding it out.
Hell
so,
yeah.
Like I said, you know, Bonecutter and I have been, we've been on such good terms together, and riding together as a team, and how that friendship has been. I literally I've been on factory teams and private teams and stuff, and they're the top of the top as far as, you know, keeping a good race bike under me and keeping a healthy relationship with a team is more the battle than having a good bike under you. So just easygoing, letting me race what I want to race, have fun, and just enjoy the process. And they've been along with it. So with kind of this transition right now of, okay, we're struggling to get, you know, national support a little bit, and let's go back to our roots. And, you know, I've always wanted to try hard enduro. Mm-hmm. Enduro cross is like my dream. I want to do that series. So I've got my eyes on that for this season, in the fall. So, pretty looking forward to that, because that's I've awesome. Been racing GNCC. I've been racing the National Enduro Series, and both of those conflict with that series. So it's,
dude, my money's on you. Honestly, if anyone's going to find the sketchiest line at one of those races, it's you. And I'm sure it's going to put you on the podium, or at least get you some, you know, somebody to pick up the phone and call you and throw some money your way, or put you on a decent bike or something, because you bring the entertainment every time you're on the bike. Well, that's one thing I can guarantee.
I must add, though, I was going for that jump under the whole reason of, like, this is probably a bad attitude, but I was like, I'm going for surgery in 2 days. So if the wrist is broken, it's just going to be broken a little more. They're going to fix it.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like, I knew that line was sketchy jumping that thing. And it was not very smart. But hey, we did it and live and learn. But I've been a lot more wise these days to not be doing stuff like
that. I was just going to bring that up. You know, everything you're saying, like, the last 5 minutes here is, like, has been such sage advice for, I don't even want to call them young riders or the, you know, the aspiring pro, but like that like 19, 20 year old kid, that 21 year old kid who didn't get the deal he thought he was getting after he, you know, got onto a big bike, or, you know, he's still waiting for somebody to call or this or that. Like, man, you just put out a lot of good information there for that kind of person to listen to. And it's interesting to hear you talking. You know, I still consider you pretty young. You got a lot of life left, and you got a lot of miles left on the tires, as they say. And 26 years old, you've seen it all, you've done it all, you've been on the private teams, you've been on the factory teams. And what you said about you know, having a good relationship with the people around you and the people at the team, you know, the team folks, the people who you report to, quote unquote, and the people ultimately helping you get to the race, you know, having a good relationship with them is half the battle, if not more, than having a good bike under you. And
100%. And it's hard to
differentiate the two, or, like, you know, pick which is more important.
It's kind of a real thing to say too, but a lot of, there's quite a few people on race teams that didn't quite get the opportunity to be in the position you are. So,
yep, exactly.
There's a reason why they're the mechanic and you're the rider, and there's no hate on that. That's something they became really good at and something you became good at. And you got to be able to combine those two things. And, a lot of times it's hard to be on the same terms, and when, you know, you're doing something that is how you make your living, it's not personal, you know. It's if you're going to another team because they offered you, you know, more win bonuses and all that stuff, that's just, it's just business, you know. And it's hard to keep relationships and business separate in any part of the world, but especially in racing. It's what we do. It's like literally eat,
yeah,
sleep,
you could be best friends with somebody at the races, and then next weekend they're shunned for whatever reason. They could turn your back to them, which, you know, we try to promote that, you know, especially at our races. You know, we want everybody to come together. We're trying to bring the moto guys and the woods guys together and kind of, like, end in that stigma of, you know, like, which one's better or who's faster or whatever. And it's more or less just like, just come out and ride and let's all get together, like, help your common man in the pit, you know, give somebody some pointers. So that's why it was great to hear about Mile Hill just kind of, you know, throwing a, you know, an extra hand your way. Like, that's what is it like to me. Like, that's what racing and going to the, you know, every Sunday is all about. You know, that's what the temple showed me. You know, they showed me hospitality and gave me the shirt off their back or the parts off their bike just so I could go out and race. And I'm slow as hell. Like, I never raced professionally. I think I'm a sea rider, but it was more or less because I'm Tegan's friend. They did this for everybody, you know. They brought you around, and, like, that was our team. That was, you know, our factory team was all of our all of our, we call them the FMF rental guys, all the frames kids, you know, we'd pile into Tegan's camper with as many bikes as we could for the weekend. And it was more or less about the folks that were around us at the races and having a good time. And yes, it was at the amateur and the C level, but the same can be true for when you're at the pro level. And you just told us that, you know, it's about having good folks around you, no matter if you're at home or at the races. It all can have an effect on, you know, your day or your race day and your life. You know, it's, you know, you're doing it for a living, you know, we're doing it for fun at the amateur level, but again, it comes down to relationships with people and, you know, just being a decent person. And we're just trying to, you know, promote that kind of good thing at the races and everything. So I'm glad that you, you know, brought all that stuff up, and it was kind of a long winded way of me telling that I can see, you know, I you know, I don't know you personally. You and I are, you know, just friendly and acquaintances and everything. And I'm sure we're going to get tighter here as, you know, the series grows and everything. But, you know, I can already see growth in you and, you know, knowing that, you know, everything you've been through, it's just, it's really cool to hear you talking about all that stuff and, you know, kind of being open and honest with it and, you know, kind of letting us peek inside your life and what it's been like as a, you know, a 25 plus guy now who's come up through the ranks and all that stuff, you know. Sorry, I gotta say, man, you're 26.
No, and I appreciate that. I mean, and honestly, like, I have to say, because for years my dad always said, if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? And it was corny to me, and it was always like, yeah, dad. But yep. I got to the point where I had factory rides, I was getting paid salary, I had what I needed. I had, you know, I met those, I want to do this as a full-time job. I was there. I had the salary, had the van, the bikes, the full-time mechanic. I had that stuff, but I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. And that's, I got to the point where I'm, you know, I lost a ride. I dealt with an injury. I went through a really rough breakup. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I got myself back on my feet, and the first race I did was Baja 1000. Hell, I finished it. I did almost 400 miles of the 1000. And by the way, a Baja 1000 is not a true 1000 unless it's like last year was the 1100 mile, which was like the original.
Leave it to you to remember this. Since you just dropped some mileage there, I'm going to keep you on your toes. Don't forget where you were going with that about Baja. Can you tell me how many miles you did at ISDE? I have the answer right in front of me.
870?
1,044 race miles.
I think it was like... Yeah,
I got that number from your personal YouTube video that you posted.
No. It was 870. We did 1,000... Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
You got to go back in and watch, because I watched it last night and I wrote it down because I thought I was watching the wrong video at first, because you guys were out there mule deer hunting. I didn't even get a chance to ask you about all that.
Yeah, it was 140 to 155 miles a day. So, dude, that was a lot.
Yeah,
that was a lot. Okay, I didn't think it would be that hard.
Back to Baja. I didn't want to cut you off, but back to
Baja. No, it's okay. It's okay. But so the Baja was, you know, 700 miles that year for the class we did.
Line bastards.
I flew in on like a 2-day notice and filled in on this like sea level setup race bike. It had like 6-inch bar risers, foam grips. It was
you're out there on a chopper.
450 with emissions. Like it wasn't the race bike, but it was enough to finish and do it. But where I was going with that is, you know, I was literally, I look back at where I am now, that was the lowest I've been in, you know, I would say my life. And to crawl out of that, finish the 1000, I was like, you know, damn, okay, I got to do this for me, because, you know, I just did what I know I'm capable of.
Yeah, a little bit more of a clear mind. It was.
Yeah. And it was, it was like, okay, you know, I just need to do what I want to do and what makes me happy. So
for sure.
That's what I did. I came across Bone Cutter and the stars aligned, you know, they were on the same headspace and it was great. We ran with it, you know? So, but you gotta be able to have fun doing this. And even if it's like anything, whatever makes it more fun, like do it. I see kids that go out and they read that these pros do motos and they want to go to a pit and they want to do 30-minute motos and 20-minute motos and do all this stuff because their trainer told them to. And it's like, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
You know, like the most the fastest you'll be is what is the most fun for you. You got to put the work in, but you also got to be able to have fun, because if you're lining up on that start line and did everything that week because that's what your trainer told you to do, then that's, to me, that's where it's wrong. It's got to be what you want to do, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
So, and that's a big headspace.
Perfect piece of advice, man.
To get into, because I, like I said, I did it for years. I did the doing the motos and doing this because my trainer told me to. But you know, it to
you can only
to
do that for so long.
The success I had last year, I will not lie to you. I didn't go to the gym once. I never even put a heart rate monitor on once last year. So like, and I was able to accomplish goals I've set my entire career on, you know, so
yeah, just kind of got out of your head a little bit and just rode the bike.
I just had fun, man. Yeah. Like there was races I didn't even check SAG.
All right, we're back. I had a battery blowout here. I dropped the ball. I thought I had enough juice to get through the whole thing there, but, I had a battery die, and I think everything got saved there. I have to go back in and start to edit and listen, but Thorne was just wrapping up what he was talking about there with just his experiences with factory teams and his experience at the ISDE in Argentina, and just really touching on all of his experiences in the dirt bike world and what has made him the rider and person he is today. And without diving back into all that stuff, we're just going to try and wrap it up here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this a trend or not, but I'm going to try to. You know, every time I get one of you fast guys on here, I'm going to ask you these rapid fire questions, the same questions I asked Jared in the first Voice of Tour episode. And first one at the top of the question here, at the top of the list is favorite rider of all time. You can take as long as you want or as quick as you want.
Favorite rider of all time. Probably Travis Pastrana. That guy's the man.
Hell yeah. Got to be everybody's favorite.
Yeah. He's all the way across the board. That guy's the man.
Did you ever meet him?
No, but I have so many connections to that guy. I would love to.
I figured you might.
Yeah. I just need to do it.
Dude, I keep DMing him, telling him to come to tour. yeah, you'll end up backflipping. You'll be the one who...
I will backflip.
You take zero convincing for that, so...
Yeah, I will backflip something.
So, yeah, you guys got to link up. I keep DMing. So, Travis, if you're out there listening, or if anybody has any connections to Travis, send him our way. We'll be down at Bud's Creek. I know it's not far from where you live.
Yo, that would be some good media.
I keep pushing, man. Like I said, I keep DMing, but no responses. So if anybody, like I said, if anybody has any connections, feel free to reach out to me. We'd love to see TP199 out there mixing it up with the Temple Off-Road guys. I think he would do pretty good. I feel like this kind of series has his name written all over it. If he was, you know, maybe 20 years ago, but
I'll tell him, get him a TR5, get him a 500. I'll bring a 500 and we'll duel out.
There you go. I like that. I want to put him on an RM125. I don't know about you.
That would be sick.
I got one in the shop for him. The Westchester Mulchco Racing RM125 is out there. She's all tuned up. I loaned her out at the end of last season for one of my buddies. So, Travis, I got one for you, pal.
We got to make it happen.
All right. So, TP is your favorite rider.
For sure.
Next question. E-bikes, e-dirt bikes, I should say. Yay or nay?
I think they're pretty cool. I like that they've got a lot of horsepower. I support them for their own category. I don't think
as do I.
I don't think they're going to take over. You know, nothing will ever replace an old traditional motor, but the new electric bikes are. I mean, they're 80 some horse. It's pretty sick, and I do like a lot of power. So that's something that interests me.
Okay, so we'll put you in a you're split down the middle. They got their place, and they're a lot of fun to go fast on. That sounds like your style. Okay, next question. What is your favorite type of racing?
GPs, for sure. Without a doubt.
Hell yeah. That's the right answer. You're on the right show.
GPs, for sure. I like sprinting. Just it has everything in it that I like. The technical, the moto, the sprinting, all that. For definitely GPs.
Yeah, it goes back to what you're saying about, you know, being a well-rounded individual instead of just hammering out motos or woods loops. You just go out, get a good taste of everything, and that's what you're going to have the most fun on. So,
absolutely.
Love it. All right, next one, beer or liquor?
I'm not much of a drinker, to be honest.
I'm striking out that question, man. I'm one of these days. I'm going to get the party boy on here who's going to go off on it. But Jared, he said, you know, no liquor, no beer for him either.
Yes. I mean,
you guys are riders and athletes. I get it. But see, for me, like I said, I'm a C-class guy. I like to have a beer in between motos, maybe a couple beers after the moto. You know, I'm not used to trying to keep myself in race shape. That's not my style. But for you guys, it's a different story.
No, that's fair. I mean, I do enjoy an adult beverage with my friends and my girlfriend occasionally, but the drinking's not one of my things.
Okay, very good, very good. And this is like everybody's always favorite debate here: 2-stroke or 4-stroke?
Two stroke for sure. I mean, every time I get on a 4-stroke, I've been on a 4-stroke for like 2-3 years now, and every time you get on 2-stroke, you just smile ear to ear. Like, there's nothing like it.
Yep.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, it keeps calling you back every time.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, man. I don't own any 4-strokes. I'm a 2-stroke guy at heart, and I will be for the foreseeable future because I'm not buying any new bikes. Unless somebody wants to give me a brand new YFC 250F special edition. Not that I was, you know, looking or had my eye on any, but that would be something pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm a size 70 by 100 pole barn.
Yeah, if anybody was shopping for Thorn for Christmas, you just heard right there. That's what he's looking for.
70 by 100 pole barn would do. Not too picky, though.
No, yeah, me neither. Yeah, or if honestly, I would take a 2024 KX 250F special edition, you know, 50th anniversary, if anybody was interested. You know, if anyone has one out there, I'm not picky. I'll take any one of them.
No sweat. I could put the black wheels on it.
Yeah, I'm looking for the purple ones.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So I'm going to wrap this up, man. But this is the question that everybody asks me when I talk about you to them, or when I, you know, I say that you were the champ of the day or whatever. What is the 21-day WIPA represent?
Oh, I can't expose myself like this.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. So it's not as exciting as everybody thinks it is, but it is kind of comical. I had graduated high school. I had got my first contract. I was signed up to go to nursing school.
No way.
I was signed up. I wanted to be a flight nurse.
Okay.
I ended up getting a contract from Enduro Engineering at the time. Long story short, canceled classes. Took the contract, went to race dirt bikes, and I was down in Georgia at a family, just a guy I met racing, and I was staying at his house out of my van. He was letting me stay like in his upstairs garage, and I jokingly said, it was like right before the first round of Sumter, and I jokingly said, holy crap, Sumter's in like 20 days. Like, I need to get in shape. And I've been training. I was riding. I was just being like a wise guy.
Yeah.
And this guy's wife, she said to me, well, I have these Jazzercise videos, that we can start. Stop. And like, she took it totally to heart. She thought like I was, she thought I was being serious. So I just went with it, and it was called the workout videos were called 21 Day Fix. So we ended up getting like this guy, his wife, and his two daughters all together in the living room to do this Jazzercise.
You're kidding me.
And I'm like, okay. And I'm like doing jumping jacks like a wise guy. And I'm like, because it's called 21 Day Fix. I'm like, I'm going to be a 21 Day WIPA. Like I'll be a WIPA in 21 days. And then like we laughed and like I did it. And then like I won that race like a week later. So I just put like hashtag 21 Day WIPA because that was like my
joke of the week.
I was being like a wise guy.
Yeah.
And then it just stuck. So like anything hashtag 21 Day WIPA, even if it's like under Enduro Engineering account or like any other account, if it's got that tag on it, it's done by me. Unless it's like obviously somebody that, you know, if it's a picture of me or a video about me, then, and it's hashtagged that, it's something that I posted and created myself. So
I love it, dude, that you got to have it's literally your signature.
It is. And I'm kind of exposing myself because I I always dodge the question. I have all the time asking about it, and I'm just like, I guess they'll never know. Like, I just,
dude, honestly, part of me doesn't want to let this out, but it's too good, man. Especially the story. The story is hilarious, dude. If you were just telling me, it was like, oh, I don't know, I just something I do. Like, it's no big deal, the jazzercise. You couldn't have made that up if you tried. That's perfect, funny too, man. That's awesome.
This poor lady, man. She put on like yoga pants and had the sweatbands on. She was going all out for her first 21-day fix, like day one.
She was like, I'm ready, let's do it.
I couldn't say no because like she was so serious, and I was being a wise guy, and she took my sarcasm as like seriousness. I was like, okay, I gotta run with this,
dude. That's sick. I love
story. And that hashtag has a lot of like on TikTok it has a couple million, and even on Instagram it's got a couple
some crazy viral ones.
Yeah, which is cool. And that's something I pride myself in. Like, I like to use Instagram as just like, it's just a platform, and it wasn't something that I'm like, ah, look at me. It was never anything like that. It was just like, that would be cool. And then I'd take a video of it and then post it. And it was like, we did one, you know, last fall. I was doing like 90, 95 along the road. I told my brother about that. He did it in like an old Jeep. I think it was like a 99 or something, and he had it to the floor. I told him we were gonna be doing like 40 because I thought that's how fast I was going, and we ended up doing like 95, and that video got like 14-15 million views. It was crazy.
That's the one with the Tamaqua sign in the background.
Yeah The cops love me around here.
I'm sure they That's amazing. That's good. Dude, you're chock full of good stories, man. I could sit here. We could chat about things for probably the next couple hours if, you know, we'll start talking about people we know and everything. One connection leads to the next, and stories after stories. And you're just you're an easy dude to talk to. I love your attitude as far as life goes, racing and everything. You got a message, and you're sharing it here and there with people with your posts and everything, and with, you know, your little tidbits like you gave me here tonight. And let me tell you, people appreciate that stuff, and they eat it up. I know this is, you know, my first dive into the media side of things and the interviews and everything, but you know, as just a fan of the sport, the riders, you know, I know that I gobble up any bit of content when I see it, you know, as far as the pro guys, and even just if it's an amateur guy who puts an interesting video out, you know, it's just fun to hear and be, you know, just hear about our sport, you know, and the stuff that we're interested in. So, when a guy like you hops on here and opens up, a window into your life and, you know, into your experiences, it's just going to make people like you even more. You know, you're just a relatable dude, and we're very thankful that you're, you know, showing some love to Temple Off-Road Racing. And I'm sure as soon as you get back on the bike and we're back to racing here, you're going to be back on the podium, and we're going to be chatting again, and you're going to have some more stories for me. And man, I hope it's like a long time thing. Like, I want you to become one of those guys who, you know, are looked at like those, you know, those Johnny G's or the Ben Kellys, the Josh Toth, like those OG legends of their series. Like, I think that could be you for our series. So
I appreciate that.
So we're happy to have you, man. And of course, I'm always going to root for my PA boys, holding it down. We're going to go down to Jersey and smack up on those sand fleas, and we're going to go down to Maryland and smack up on those rednecks too. We're going to take care of all of them.
No hate to you guys.
No hate. We're just a couple of hillbillies up here from PA, you know. If you see us on the hill climbs, because we'll take on everybody.
Yeah, we've got rusty trucks and a quarter land, but
Jesus,
we got a big attitude.
Hell yeah, we do. All right, man, before we get ourselves in any trouble, I'm gonna let you go. I'm just gonna say thank you for coming on here, taking a little bit more than an hour of your time, and you know, just like I said, chatting and giving us a peek inside your life. And can't wait to catch up with you at the next race, man. Heal up fast, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it.
Did you want to? Yeah, I was going to say. Did you want to say thanks to anybody? I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just didn't want to shoo you off the phone without giving you props.
Yeah, it's all good. I just wanted to, you know, thank you for your time. And I know you're just a normal guy going to work too. So spending your night, you know, getting all this stuff figured out and putting in the effort to let the light be shined is much appreciated. But So super thankful for you and the whole Temple Off-Road guys for stepping up. And like I said on the podium at round one, like, it's a breath of fresh air, and to have people who are eager to make it good and make a good series is, it's really welcoming. So thankful for you guys and Bonecutter Off-Road, my entire family, my girlfriend supporting me, all my good close friends that are wrenching and washing bikes and, you know, doing everything I can to keep my small program moving and, you know, standing out, taking videos, all that stuff. So it's super appreciated from them and everybody who supported me. There's been a lot of support, you know, to make 6 days happen and racing for all these years. So everybody who's helped me from year to year and season to season, I super appreciate it.
Awesome, man. You just knocked out of the park with that. And you're going to make me blush if you say any more. I can't handle the compliments.
Aww.
All right, man. All right, well, have a great night. And like I said, man, we'll see you at the next round.
Thanks, dude.